The Tights and Fights podcast. For over 6 years, a revolutionary force in sports and entertainment. The Tights and Fights podcast for over 6 years.
Tights and Fights podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Daniel, and this guy Mike Eagle is there as well. Tights and Fights podcast.
He's back and better than ever.
Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. We hope you enjoyed us bringing back the old school theme song for this week because it is such a special occasion. I'm Lub, Sweat, and Respect, Hal Lublin, and I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, Dan of the Year, Danielle Radford.
That's right. There is only one Dan this year. Sorry to all other Dans.
Good job.
Thank you.
And most Kelkstreme Linzination Challenge, Lindsay Kelk. I got it. I got through it.
I've been looking at that since I opened the script, and I'm like, if he nails this in one
take,
like, Hal gets to be king.
Do you want to be Dan? You can be the Dan for this year.
Yeah, I'm going to take I need the Dan crown. Now, before we get to the big reunion that everyone, especially longtime Tights and Fights fans, are looking forward to, let's talk about the Max Fun Drive. The most special time of year is here. The ice cream Christmas of Maximum Fun and its community.
I always love this time of year. Like, it's a chance for all of us. I'm going to lie. I'm going to be really selfish for a second. Not only is it that we all get to connect with the community, we also all get to connect with the other like podcast hosts, and we get like a nice refresher and a nice reminder of all of the good podcasts that you can hear on Max Fun. We've been bouncing around on everyone's podcasts and saying a little nice hello here and there and getting reminders of all of the really fun shows that you can find on Max Fun. And getting to hang out with all of the other hosts, you really realize how much everyone here really enjoys what they do. They enjoy the opportunity to do it in this specific way, like with our fans, fan supported as this co-op, and what being a part of something like that is, because this is like a really special thing that we do here. And you feel that love when we're all kind of together and getting together to talk about the drive. It's great.
And bonus content. I love bonus content. Well, we're talking about being selfish. Not that I don't love y'all and that I don't love every week's podcast, but I want more because I'm a greedy monster. Max Fun Drive says, hey, did you know you wanted a listen-along soundtrack to The Chaperone? You're going to have one. And if it weren't for Max Fun Drive, we wouldn't do that. And that's a gift from us to you, but also from you to us, because if you didn't support the show, we wouldn't make the bonus content. What a magical time.
We get to make everyone in here watch The Chaperone. It's amazing. It's
yeah.
What a magical time of year.
We've been talking about for the past several months how Max Fun is a co-op and it's owned by all the employees, which is really cool. But the other major stake in Maximum Fun is all of the members that have kept all the individual shows and the network itself going for all these years. This is really like the lion's share of everything that comes in and supports the network financially is from all of you. I mean, we're a small show. We wouldn't be going still if we didn't have people like you out there supporting us. So the place to go is MaximumFun.org/join to become a Max Fun member. You put in your credit card information. You select Tights and Fights as one of the shows that you listen to. Very important. Check the box for all of the shows you listen to. That's how you make sure they benefit directly. And for as little as $5 a month, you have a direct hand in keeping the show going, and you get all the bonus content ever put out, ever, across the entire network. One more time, it's MaximumFun.org/join. You can pause. We will not hurt our feelings and do it right now. Also, now that the Max Fun Drive is upon us, what better way to kick off this time of the year than getting the whole mishpucha back together? Joining us once again, Big Eagle Microtaker, Open Mike Eagle. Welcome back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Big Eagle Microtaker. There's so many syllables that don't match.
Yeah, that's a lot. It's a lot. I have to say a lot of words sometimes, but
you do. It's true.
How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. That's what I'm going to say.
Good. Good. Keep that mask tape over the cracks.
There we go. There we go.
How was WrestleMania last year for you in LA? You were there, yeah?
I did. I ended up, I had tickets for Saturday, and me and my lady went, and we liked it so much, we bought tickets again on Sunday. Although we bought worse tickets, so we had a worse time. But it was good. It was still fun both days. It was still fun.
How much are you watching on a regular basis right now?
I think I'm pretty much back to watching everything I can watch. Well, I guess I'm watching all the WWE stuff. And I'm pretty much only watching Dynamite on the AEW side.
What made you drop out? Because you were into AEW, right? You were like moving in that direction for a little bit, if I'm not mistaken.
I was pretty heavily into AEW the first couple of years of their existence. And honestly, that's the same question I've been asking myself a lot lately. Like, why is this not good anymore? I don't really understand. So I feel like as I'm watching, I'm trying to like understand why it feels I won't go as far as to say it's hard to watch, but I'll say that as I watch it now, I find myself being far more analytical about it,
right,
than I was in years past.
Is it just, do you think it's because you're like taken out of it, or is it because there's so much that you just can't ignore? Or
I just think, okay, and this is me answering without having really thought about it, but I think...
You're welcome to the podcast.
Yeah. Right. You remember how this goes.
Answering without thinking about it, that's
Mike
what we do.
Mike forgot where he is.
Yeah. I used to try to think about it, though. I used to try. I feel like when I watch AEW now, the sensation that I have a lot of time is they do stuff all the time where I'm like, why is this happening? And I feel like before, the pathways to their booking seemed more coherent. I mean, as far as I know, it's still just Tony Khan booking everything. Right. He's always had 300 jobs. So, like, I don't really understand why suddenly it would be an issue. But when I just try to just track things in the normal way that I watch wrestling and track, you know, people's motivations and, you know, certain bookings decisions, it just seems to make a lot less sense than it used to.
We should dig into some of the stuff that happened since the last time we talked to you. This is AEW.
So much happens all the time now. Every week, everything fucking happens.
It's all happening at the same time.
I don't remember the last time we've been able to be like, oh yeah, like it's just been a normal year for wrestling. It has been nothing but wacky thing upon thing for the last, 3 years now?
Yeah.
I know I did it. I know it was my fault because we literally had that one episode right before SummerSlam a couple of years back when I was like, I don't know, I'm starting to feel like I might need a break and nothing's really happening and I just don't think I actually care about anything. And then a week later they were like, oh, sit your ass down. And then suddenly everything started happening all at once and I've been tired since. Should have took that break while I had the chance. Yeah. It won't stop. Yeah. Please make it stop.
Before we, or if we're even going to dig into all of the larger terrible scumbag allegation things, I want to go back to an AEW event in London when CM Punk basically turned on the entire company and then later made Tony Khan get up on a chair like he saw a cartoon mouse in the 40s. What was your reaction?
Before you start throwing allegations around like that, Hal, do you know for sure that Tony Khan did not see a mouse?
I don't know that.
His life was in danger.
Yeah, two things can be true. So two things can be true, Hal. CM Punk could have been coming at him and a mouse could have been there too. If this was in London, there's every fucking chance. Could have been a plague rat left over.
He beats up Jungle Boy before pre-match. and then he threatens Tony Khan, and then he's gone. What was your reaction to that?
I remember I was taking a flight somewhere, and like the last notification I got on my phone before we left Earth was CM Punk is fired.
Yeah.
And I felt, I guess I felt immediately kind of sad about that. I think that CM Punk was probably the wrestler in AEW that I was most interested in, especially given it. This was shortly after they had created Collision, which seemed to be a show they, you know, a little kingdom they made for him to rule. And in his
a
kingdom,
fiefdom, if you will.
Yeah. And in his kingdom, the booking made sense. And I thought that was pretty cool. And I was just interested in following that show and the storylines therein. And I thought that they were going to do something with CM Punk and MJF to potentially bring the belts back together at some point. It just seemed to be a lot of interesting things happening on the CM Punk / Collision side of things. But it also made sense. It's just CM Punk seemed like he was a sort of entity that was never really going to fit in there, being at odds with the people he was at odds with, you know, the Young Bucks and, you know, sort of the people that are on top of the company from the indie side. They seem to have such different values. And just having a company where there's warring factions of important people, just that doesn't seem to be the way that AEW is going to flourish, especially since the person in charge is not like the rule with the iron fist, the buck stops at me type person. It seems to be the inmates largely running the asylum. Just having all of those sorts of contrasting forces was never going to work. So it seemed sort of inevitable that he wasn't going to make it there. And I'm glad he ultimately ended up back in WWE, because that seems to be a place that could most take advantage of what it is that he brings to the table and also keep him in line.
This feels like, I mean, it's a shame he got injured. As much as I was not thrilled to see him back in WWE, because I felt like they're doing well, like they have a really good locker room, and you don't want to bring someone in who's been proven to be an issue recently. But also, I think the scrum coupled with the backstage brawl a year later kind of made him, maybe it humbled him a little bit or made him realize he's not a bulletproof person. So this whole thing feels a little bit like an apology tour. Not that he's apologizing to anybody, but that he's like, oh, I want to come back with all of the knowledge I've accrued from my first run here, plus the missteps I took everywhere else, and see if I can do this in a way that works for me and play this game not properly, but like fit in. I want to like be a part of it this time. And I never got that sense from him before.
Yeah, Mike, I'm curious to know, like, what do you think about the new cuddly hug-a-bear CM Punk that's all over social media?
Stepford Punk. It's a clone. I'm telling you, that's not the same man. It's fucking weird. It's weird.
I do imagine that WWE has put in some amount of pressure on him to keep it cool. I'm sure he's trying to curry favor. And I honestly think that he was in an environment previously that frustrated him to no end. I really feel like he was constantly pissed off in AEW and constantly feeling like he had to set boundaries and be judge, jury, and executioner over there because there was no one providing structure. And so then, you know, whoever's values over there that is in that on top position, they just kind of grow until there's some resistance and people bump up against each other. And it just seemed to be constant chaos over there. And people constantly undermining him and him, you know, trying to do what he thinks is right. I think it was a bad environment. And so I think something to do with his, you know, rosy, cuddly, baby kissing now is sort of informed by him feeling like he's in a better environment.
Man, he really do be kissing them babies. He's down at NXT every week showing somebody how to stretch something. And it's like, you should have been stretching before all your matches, bud. maybe you wouldn't be at home hurt.
Like, I would love to hear the real story. And because it's Punk, I feel like maybe we will get it one day. To what Hal said, I think it's a real case of, you know, you don't know what you've got till it's gone. And maybe he thought he could do a better job of what was being done in WWE until he got to AEW and they said, okay, do it then, because no one here is going to do it for you. And he was like, oh, this doesn't work either. Because, man, you know what's great? Structure.
It
you
is.
Know, it's great in a corporate environment. And I'm not saying yay corporate environment, but I'm saying this is one. Structure really helps. Let's see that org chart, Tony. Let's see it. Please. Please.
Yeah, that's, I mean...
It's not an org chart right now, is it? It's like an org
brain. They just got some org people. We'll see. They're going to get orgy. Yeah.
You know, as WWE moves forward and continues to evolve, like it started as what it was, then became more corporate, became a publicly traded company. Now it is part of a different entity. And now Vince McMahon being essentially forced to retire and be gone forever, allows it to, I think, take another step forward, getting rid of him and Kevin Dunn in particular. Like the production quality's gotten better of the show. The creative's been better, I think, ever since Triple H took over, and it continues to. I'm just impressed. I harp on this pretty often, but I love mentioning it because it makes me happy. The thing it takes from the Attitude Era that's good is everybody up and down the card having a story. Everybody's got a reason to be there. They're not just matches aren't filler matches. Everybody's trying to get to something or has a problem with someone. And so when the matches have meaning, it keeps people warm enough that when you want to move them up or down, that it works. You're back to watching WWE. What do you like right now, Mike?
What you just pointed out, I do think is great. And it almost felt sudden that suddenly every mid-carder had a story. but it's nice, you know, to know that everyone in Alpha Academy's kind of motivates
right.
suddenly, you know, that's cool. I mean, I do like it. I thought, like, if you look at specifically, you look at Chad Gable, who was a guy who was just playing a whack version of the same character that Vince had been trotting out for years, and how quickly Triple H was able to sort of turn him and Otis face and make him credible. Like, I remember that there's a couple of episodes of Raw near the Minneapolis show where, you know, Chad Gable's, he was from, he was presented as a hometown hero, and the crowd was really behind him and hoping he would beat Gunther, which you wouldn't have thought even plausible a few weeks before that. So it's just that attention to detail. It's moving with intention. Obviously, having long-term story goals in mind and taking steps to get there, adding intrigue to things where, you know, where it's Bailey and damage control, where obviously these elements are combustible, but you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. And it finally does. And it's a big moment. Same with Judgment Day, as we saw with the Bloodline story over the last year and a half, just how you can add elements, making them meaningful, making the characters within these stories have real life motivations and reactions, and not everybody feels the same way and just speaks in flat language. People feel more like human beings now, and they move accordingly, and it seems to build towards stories that are just way more satisfying than it's been in many years.
Yeah. There's so many guys and gals, so many people who are over, sort of all over the card, especially like LA Knight feels like if he had been a fad, that fad would have ended by now. But he still gets a huge reaction. He's still wildly popular. It feels like he's got a date with a title at some point.
R-Truth might be more over than he's ever been.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
This has been such a great, this has been an immaculate run for him. And it's not like, this is leading to a WrestleMania match. There has to be some WrestleMania match. He's got to get Judgment Day back. It hasn't happened yet.
Which would be adorable. And I do want to see it. I do want to see it. Sweet boy, that sweet 52-year-old boy.
Also, Rhea Ripley is coming up on a year as champion, and she's become just like one of the, she's just like a huge star, just an undeniable star. And you have her, you have Bianca, Jade Cargill was presented so well, and not having her wrestle again feels really smart.
Right.
The way they, I think they're going to, I'm really excited to see what they do with her. I think I was telling the story recently, but I got Jennifer to watch a little bit of the Women's Rumble, and she was like sort of paying attention a little bit. She was concerned everybody was going to get hurt. When Jade Cargill appeared on screen, she like did like the, like, was so into that. And then the face off with Bianca Belair, she's like, I want to see that. Let me know when they wrestle, because that is something I want to see.
And
that's amazing.
Mike, since you're here, we need your opinion. Do you need to weigh in on the AKA off? Julian insists that, your sisters, like, you can't fight your Soros. I want to see it. I want to see that ring covered in pink and green and white.
Are they both
and
AKAs?
Blood. They're both AKAs.
I did not even fucking know that. That's crazy.
Because, like, Jade had some of her Soros with her for one of her entrances. I don't remember if it was Wembley or where it was.
You're right. In AEW, yep.
Then obviously Bianca has had like some of her Soros as well. I need sister versus come on.
Oh, that's
I want
incredible.
It so bad I can't think.
You know, I'm a member of Alpha Phi Alpha, so those are my sisters.
This is why I am asking you specifically.
Yeah. So they should let me referee it, I think. I think that's how that logic works. Because they should just let me referee.
I like that idea.
See?
Like who do we need
sorry,
to speak
Julian,
to?
Sorry, Julian, you're being outruled here. Like
I didn't say it can't ever happen.
Yeah, but you want them to become the Rockers. Like they have to team up after they fight each other. That's
after.
What we wanted. Like that moment created a singularity when they were facing off with each other. That was like the hottest moment of the Rumble, potentially.
Ring just covered in lime green strips. You know you need it.
My overall point was just that I thought the match between them would be cooler after you establish a relationship between them in some way.
I could see that. I could certainly see that.
I wouldn't be mad if they'd go on ahead and fight. I wouldn't be.
If they went from face-off to two-woman power trip style tag team running roughshod over Raw or SmackDown, that would be pretty fucking incredible.
That would be cool.
And then, and then after... there's a somebody turns on somebody. Yeah, that could be real good. That could be real good.
Thank you. This is why I had you back specifically for the validation.
Yeah. I think we have a creative regime now where there's a lot less. Like there are a lot of times where I go like where in the past I would have been like, oh, that'd be a great match, but they're gonna screw up the build to it, and then it's not gonna be good, and then they can use that as an excuse to say, well, nobody really wanted this, so they weren't ready, blah 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 blah, as opposed to we have two piles of money ready to fight one another. Let's make sure that it all gets put into that chamber where you have to grab as many dollars as you can so it all blows around.
I mean, I feel like at this point I wouldn't be shocked if that's the Mania match, right? Bianca doesn't have anything scheduled right now because it's Io Bailey for the SmackDown belt and it's going to be Rhea Becky. Which I actually think will be super fun too. So what's Bianca's match gonna be? But then Bianca's running a streak. Like she's on a 3-match streak. So Jade can't lose her first match. So, this makes it fun and interesting to me. Shenanigans.
Well, let's give one corner of wrestling some extra attention. This is our main event.
Bleeding.
Whoa! Yeah!
Get a life, kid.
Rhymes with shit.
Holy shit!
WWE.com.
I love cake!
I hate nuts!
Look at this face!
And a hard-fought victory.
Live, Hal.
What?
Did that say anal bleeding?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
Is that new?
Yeah.
Where's that from? Who's it?
I would love
Michael
to know
Cole
what
saying
from.
It. It's Michael Cole saying it. It's a beautiful tapestry that Julian adds to. Like a collage.
I can truly tell you exactly what
it's more meaning.
Yeah.
It's when I think Jerry Lawler or somebody got in the ring with Lesnar, I want to say, and took an F5, and then they wrote him off TV for the night. And then Michael Cole, serious as a heart attack, looks right into the camera and says, Jerry Lawler has been taken to a local medical facility where he is dealing with anal bleeding. It's just the most bizarre thing in the world that I'd ever heard. And they move on. Nobody laughs about it. They just kept doing the show like nothing happened.
Hey, when blood comes out of your asshole, that's a big deal. I will tell you.
You've got to go to a doctor.
Freak
yeah,
you
got to go to a doctor after that.
That's why you get colonoscopies, Jerry.
It also doesn't count as internal if it's anal.
That's
so you do
true.
Have
external
to
bleeding.
Yeah.
It's internal
right.
And external.
Mike.
You're right.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah.
Which is why I paired it up with the my hole thing. Because
there you go.
It's like the chocolate fountain at a wedding, but it's blood. Anyway, he'll be at the hospital. Sorry, medical facility.
That's why I don't know if we need anything else from Nia. I feel like she's peaked. She's given us the greatest gift she's ever given us.
Yeah. That's all. You're
the hardest part of the ring, the apron.
Rest, sleep now.
I thought you could say your hole, but also the apron.
Only mine.
Also the apron.
By the time this episode is published, we'll be just a few weeks away from WrestleMania. And hopefully the biggest match of Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns will be set in stone without any further disruptions in the build.
But it is not your right to determine the main event. It is mine. I won the Royal Rumble. I have made my decision. At WrestleMania 40, in the main event, I choose you, Roman Reigns.
Mike, what was your feeling about Cody going back to back?
I thought it was cool. I wouldn't have said before the Rumble that I would have been very excited by that outcome, although I don't think any of us could have necessarily been surprised by it. But while watching the Rumble, it gets down to Cody and CM Punk, and I was certainly in a position where either one of these guys, it'd be great. When Cody did win, though, it felt very emotionally satisfying, like wrestling is supposed to be. So, you know, it seemed like it felt like they made the right decision as I was watching it.
And then, of course, the Rumble led to a lot of stuff. Lesnar, who was implicated in all the McMahon allegations, was taken off the show basically the day before. And CM Punk gets hurt so that we know we're not going towards the CM Punk-Seth Rollins match that it looked like it was going to happen. And in the scramble, we got the beginning of this Rock storyline where Cody Rhodes appears to give up his spot. Now, that's not the case. How do you feel about... I think we could all agree where we are now is very entertaining and interesting. But how do you feel about how we got there?
I don't understand what the motivation was supposed to be for Cody to give up that spot. To me, they've done so much to set things right after realizing they had obviously stepped in it. But that's the one gaping hole in the logic of this entire storyline, is that there's no good reason for him to have come out and said, I'm going to come after you, but not at WrestleMania. And then The Rock's going to do it instead. During interviews around that same time, Cody was specifically asked whether or not finishing his story meant that it had to be finished at WrestleMania. And he said yes. So again, it's just a lot that didn't make sense about that particular moment. There were some parts of that moment that did seem a little odd, though. Like afterwards, Cody did not seem particularly happy to have said that. Yeah. And for him to show that visually and visibly does sort of call into question whether or not some form of this swerve was part of the plan. But still, even if that was part of the plan, it doesn't retroactively make it make sense that he came out and willingly gave the spot away.
Right. Like, hey, dude, I don't know who's never around. Why don't you here was the chance for me to, you know, just the culmination of my lifelong dreams. Whatever. Fuck that. You go handle your cousin stuff. Like, they could have did this at a barbecue. You're not taking my chance.
What's weird is, like, prior to this, I remember we were talking like a few months ago about how, well, the Bloodline story has to end with The Rock. The Rock has to come in at some point and wrestle Roman, and that will be the finale of it all. Or at least force it to go off and spin it off in some different direction. And now, like, I'm interested in seeing how he plays out here, but I have no desire to see him wrestle Roman Reigns anymore. It's completely, they now have to, and I assume this is part of their plan, and I trust that they'll do it, but it still annoys me that I could have wanted both matches. There's got to be a way to do this that doesn't make you not want one match, but maybe that's the point, is you have to not want that match to just focus on what you do want. And then that makes it all the more satisfying if, say, The Rock has been undercover for Cody the whole time. I don't know how you 100% justify that, but like however it plays out, it's just weird to be so vehemently against the idea of it even happening anymore.
Well, I think for me, a lot of it was also kind of wrecked when they were selling us on the fact that The Rock would definitely be wrestling at WrestleMania. And then he came out and it was like, we could all tell that he's not going to be in the shape in the ring for a full WrestleMania match. Like, now, if someone was like, hey, like, this still leaves it open for next year. There can be a match with The Rock and Roman. I'm like, oh yeah, he's got like a year to get back into fighting shape. I could watch that. But watching it, you know, like a couple of weeks ago, knowing you've only got like a couple of months until Mania, and he was getting gassed walking to the ring and like, you know, doing a one rock bottom and doing one people's elbow. I was like, I do not want to watch 20 minutes of this.
I got no interest. Absolutely no. I've been saying, so I won't beat a dead horse.
And it would just have to be like all shenanigans.
Yeah, no thanks. I don't think it ever needed to have a title involved if this was going to happen. I think this could have been Definitely. After Roman lost it and do it Yes. at SummerSlam or go do it at a Blood Money. I don't know. But it's for honor, right? Like this should have always been about honor.
Yeah, the belt shouldn't have anything to do with it.
And now it's nonsense. And I don't care.
I do feel like they are set up for it now, though. Now they can have Roman drop the belt to Cody, and afterwards they do have this place where they can go with Roman and The Rock. I think the way that things are positioned now, Hal, as you were saying, you know, there's some people who think that The Rock is undercover working for Cody this whole time. To me, the more interesting notion is that, you know, now you got heel Rock and heel Roman, and heel Rock is going to always be overshadowing Roman to some degree. Right. So, you know, you got Roman calling himself the head of the table. Meanwhile, The Rock is going to be obviously the bigger star, getting a bigger reaction. And again, we talked earlier about them, you know, now being at a place where they're adding intrigue into stories. And I like that interaction. I like that over the next year, their interplay. And apparently they're paying Rock like $30 million to be on this board. So I think he can, you know, he can afford to step away from Hollywood for a little while and participate.
He can earn that money.
Yeah, participate in stories every few weeks on SmackDown.
Yeah, the tequila's still there. You can still sell the tequila, sir. But like, and I agree, because that was that slow burn storytelling of the Bloodline is why we all got so hardcore into the Bloodline, was that they were doing the slow burn. I think that was also another reason why the Rock thing felt so weird, was because it has been so meticulous and so like the seeds have been like, you know, planted for months before we actually wind up seeing anything bear fruit. And that was part of, as Mike said, the intrigue of it. And so just suddenly like Deus Ex Rockina have him come in and like
she's been sat like, on that for like 3 weeks.
No, well, I don't have anywhere to put it right now. Remember, still jobless. That's happening, and all of us are like, but wait, what happened to our long-term storytelling that we that was the thing that really like made us buy in to everything that's happening with, you know, you turned the Samoan dynasty into like dynasty, and that's what we wanted. And so for all of a sudden like the special guest star to come in and be like, well, now the you know, this season's finale is all about me, well, that's a little weird and we didn't like it. But if you have him come in now as the villain and then we see him at the end of next season, that's the storytelling that I think we're looking for.
Like, I'm not saying I want not a Roman face turn, but if they were to do this where Roman loses and then Rock slaps him about a bit, you know, like Rock would be like, what are you doing losing? I came here because you were supposed to be at the table. What is this? You suck now. And then Roman like slaps Rock around the face because Rock is so hated right now. Like, I think the crowd would be kind of into seeing Roman slap Rock one sweet open-handed chop to the face. I would. So I think the crowd might be into that too. And that might be a fun way to spin it out. And then they could have their match, and then maybe Roman goes away for a little while, takes a little breakaroo. I don't know, but that could be a fun way out of this, because you gotta find one. Like, I know we've figured out how we're gonna do Mania, but like, you still gotta find a way out of this Roman Rock.
Yeah,
I don't want to say nightmare, because it's not. It's gonna work. I trust them. They've earned my trust over the last few years with this storyline. Yeah. But I would be down to see Rock giving him a little bit of a, what are you doing, little cousin? You were supposed to win. And then someone gets to taste the back of someone else's hand. I could be into that. Yay, violence.
It's house problems.
Like any scenario, all the different things we're talking about here kind of revolve around the importance of Roman losing that title. So the completion that you have to have Cody finish his story so that you can start the next story. and really get to that chapter of Roman Rock. You could have Seth get involved and take out Solo and I assume Jimmy's going to be wrestling Jay. That's pretty much set up, which is I'm really looking forward to. I loved them starting the Rumble against one another. I thought that was really smart. Got me excited to see them. And I think Jimmy needs it way more than Jay does in terms of establishing himself as a single guy.
Jay is just living off money that he is printing directly behind those Yeet t-shirts. Like, Jay's doing fine. I have a Yeet t-shirt. Yeah. Like, what?
You're giving the money. If some sort of miscommunication between The Rock and Roman is what leads to Roman losing, like, The Rock is going to hit Roman, like, something that sets them up to fight one another. It doesn't work as well if Cody doesn't walk away with the title. And also, if Cody loses at WrestleMania, right. I don't know how the Daniel Bryan thing I get. Like, you start kind of at SummerSlam, then you continually screw him over, over and over and over again. Cody's a little different as a character. You can build, he's sympathetic. He's got all the juice in the world. Having him win the title and then lose it to a Money in the Bank cash in or anything like that, you can spin him off in another direction. You can do it that way, but I think he's got to win. Like, I don't care if he breaks Hogan's record anymore. I don't care. I don't want to talk
after
about Hogan.
After being there last year, like, after being, I'm curious to hear how Mike feels. Like, because when you were in that stadium, and when I've watched it on TV, I'm like, and we talked about it at the time, and it's like, oh, I get it. It makes more sense on TV. But when you were in that stadium, it was heartbreaking. Kids were crying.
It was bad.
Walking out across the parking lot, people just weren't even talking.
So I had a different experience walking out of the parking lot. So let me rewind and just say this. I was very snarkily rooting for Roman to win because I'm that type of person. So I was enjoying being that person in the crowd. And there were a few of us making eyes at each other, like, you know, the pro-Roman fans. But we all thought for sure that Cody was going to win even while we were rooting for Roman. So when Roman went over, I like belly laughed. I thought that was the funniest shit ever. But
it was just you and my brother. If you heard a 45-year-old white man, that was my brother.
But Lindsay is correct. It was an air of sadness in the building. It did sort of let the air out of the building. But because of that sadness, when I was walking to my car, my trip to the parking lot was filled with people like sorrowfully singing Cody's song.
That would have finished me off. It's entirely possible. God. I just blocked that shit out because I don't think I could have dealt with that.
It was real sad. Oh. It was real sad.
New version of Taps.
Yeah, like, did they turn his, like, you know when you take like a set, like a song, and you make it real sad before like a horror movie or something? Like,
did they pitch it down?
Yeah.
Cody's theme, the heartbreak version.
Whoa. Yeah. Oh, no.
If he wins at WrestleMania, if that's the direction they've decided to go, that documentary about the year from WrestleMania, last year's WrestleMania to this year's WrestleMania, is going to hit me like pixie sticks. I'm going to be bouncing off the walls. Because they have to have footage of that. There's no way they didn't send cameras out knowing that they were going to do that to the crowd. Like, that's what you want to find your next Miz girl. And to have just a group full of people sorrowfully singing like it's a dirge. Oh, it's just too good.
I don't want it for the people of Philadelphia. Like,
I don't want it for the city of Philadelphia. Y'all gonna lose your minds.
When I walked out of WrestleMania 30 in New Orleans and Daniel Bryan won, and I have never felt such an outpouring of joy in such a giant group of people until the Eras Tour. But that's for another day. But like, they're just the overwhelming fucking ecstasy that ran through New Orleans that night. Like, it's the nicest New Orleans has ever been. And then you contrast that to what happened in 2018 at the end of that WrestleMania in New Orleans. Dark. Firstly, it was raining on the way out, so everyone's pissed off. She's got to walk back to the French Quarter in the rain. Everyone was heartbroken. Everyone was sad. It was just bad vibes. That's what it felt like in LA last year. They can't do it 2 years in a row. They can't do it.
No,
they can, and they might, but they shouldn't.
They really
please.
Not for the light poles. Think of the light
May
poles.
May I take a brief moment to speak to WWE on behalf of the city of Philadelphia?
Please do.
Okay. Hey, WWE, it's me, Hal, Philadelphia's third favorite son, and we need this. it's been a real tough 24 months for our sports teams. It's been almost winning championships. It's been epic collapses. It's been sad injuries. And we need a win. And we need a win to happen in one of our stadiums. And the only way that's going to happen for a while is if Cody walks out with that championship. So tell whatever story you want. Just give us something. Let us climb those poles. Let us put on our lobster bibs and eat horse shit. Let us do whatever we need to do. We'll topple a couple Priuses. We'll do it. It's fine. Just let us celebrate. Let the people coming in from all over the world and all around the country see what it's like when Philadelphia is happy and how it's a different kind of danger than when we're angry or sad. Thank you.
Want that happy danger. That's yeah, right.
That happy danger. And if nothing else, then WWE 2K25 can also have the theme of finishing the story. And with that can be the new...
Yeah.
You gave the man the theme of the video game in 2K. Like, you have to... He has to win at WrestleMania now.
We need to start a betting pool for how many Philadelphia sports notables will be on hand. Ooh. Embiid will probably be there if the Sixers don't have a game. And even if they do, because he's hurt right now. So, because he's linked with Triple H. Jason Kelsey's going to be there. There's no way they don't use Jason Kelsey. I know they want to get, I think they want to get Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah,
I've been hearing that. Read that.
I'm sure they could give him enough money to show up.
He has the family Stallone to boost up.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he might be there.
My goodness. Yeah, that's, I tried to watch that show. I really, you know what? Never mind. Look, WrestleMania 40 is closer than ever, so keep an eye on all the socials to enjoy the build-up with us as it happens. We have more wrestling to talk about soon enough, but first, we want to tell you more about the Max Fun Drive. Again, just at the top, in case you're like, I already know about this and I want to go get involved, it's MaximumFun.org/join. You can do one of three things. You can start a new membership where you have a recurring donation that goes to one or any of the shows that you listen to. You can upgrade and move from like a $5 to a $10 or $10 to $20 level, and there are gifts inherent in that. Or if you don't have enough to move from one level to another, but you can afford another dollar or two or three per month, you can boost. That's allowed too. And those are all are a big, big help. It is mission critical, especially for little shows that could like us, that you support us at MaximumFun.org/join during Max Fun Drive.
Yeah, we're not getting those sweet Blue Chew dollars, Hal. I don't know if you know this.
Still working on it.
The entire reason we are able to do this, and the entire reason we do this. So thank you so much if you already support us. Thank you so much if you are on your phone right now looking at the website saying, I do have a couple of dollars to throw these fools who talk nonsense at me for at least 1 hour a week. I mean, that's worth anyone's money, isn't it? It is, because it's Max Fun Drive time. But I just wanted to say, from my side, every time I meet one of our listeners, A, it blows my mind completely that you are all out there and that you support us even by listening. So the fact that any of you would support us financially and make this show viable is so incredible to me. I have met some of you at WrestleMania. I will never forget walking around at WrestleMania in New York in 2019 wearing our hoodie, and some people on the floor started chanting Ice Cream Christmas, and you know who you are, because I cried. So I'm just like, oh my god, I knew it. And everyone with me was like, what are they? And I'm like, it's me, it's talking to me, it's me. And they thought my name was Ice Cream Christmas. But that's a different story for those people. One of the things that I always love the most is whenever I go over to the UK, because I go over to the UK kind of once a year and do a book tour for my I'm a romance novelist, and they make me go over and talk about that. But at least one person per event will come along because they came via Tights and Fights and they love the show so much. And that is just amazing to me, that we have this little community out there that matters so much. And it really does. Like, I can't stress that enough, how much this community matters both to me as an individual, to us as a show, and the fact that it matters to you as a listenership, as a family, as the nation. I just think that's really special.
Yeah, like every time I go to a show and I see people that I recognize who listen to the show and support the show, it's really, like, I never expect it. I think I've told all this before, but if you are staring at me and I look confused, it's because I think there's something on my face because I'm not famous. But like, anytime I get to connect with someone through the show, it's amazing. And especially because I'm gonna just say it. I think that we have one of the dopest fan bases of wrestling podcasts. And I feel like we've always been very proud here that we have been a place where you can find, you know, diverse opinions on wrestling, both like people who feel different things about wrestling, as well as hearing like the voices of diverse folks and how that affects their love of wrestling as well. Like I said, like generally in podcasting, it's gotten so much better than it used to be. I love it so much. And I am so proud that that is something that we get to be a part of. And that is a huge part of like our mission and what we do is we like that we've created a space here, as many listeners have said, that feels like everybody is welcome and everyone gets to play in the pool. And that's what we like to engender. And thank y'all for everyone who says that, like, you brought me back into wrestling or I started watching wrestling because I liked y'all talking about it. Y'all are like the beating heart of the show and have been. And truly, 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 we are so grateful that y'all have allowed us to create this space for all of us.
In a space where almost every show is 2 to 4 of me talking about something, it's a privilege to be the guy who gets to be there and be part of this mission to have a show that is not just a bunch of straight white dudes talking about something. And I get to learn and grow. And hopefully a lot of the people who are listening either hear themselves reflected in what we talk about here, or they get to learn about marginalized groups of people all across the board. So we want to keep doing this show forever, and your support is what makes that happen. MaximumFun.org/join. Because you are paying for the show, you get to hear more of the show. I'm going to explain to you what that means. Every month this year, this is our promise to you, the listener, we will drop bonus content in the feed for MaxFun members. That is right. Every single month. It may be bonus questions and conversation that were cut from regular podcasts, extra main events, and even full-length episodes that you can only hear by being a member of MaxFun and going to MaximumFun.org/join. And that starts this year with our bonus content, commentary on the film The Chaperone, starring Triple H in the lead role. This was... this is something else.
I can't believe it was passed over for the Oscars. I can't believe The Chaperone was passed over at the Oscars. I can't believe our commentary of The Chaperone was passed over for the Oscars, because that in itself was an award-winning performance. A magical time, if I may say.
Hashtag give Chaperone a chance. Let's do it. Let's get it trending. See, like, I get to hang out with my friends and whom I met through this podcast, who are actually like my friends. Like, we all spend all day like in our group chat. It's amazing. And that's because of y'all.
That's right.
Or be a member to help Danielle make friends.
Be a member. I don't have any wrestle friends. Like, sometimes when we're chatting about wrestling, even on the podcast, someone, like, one of you guys will say, oh, I was talking to my friend who watches wrestling, or my friend, and I'm like, I don't have anyone outside of you except for my brother, and he doesn't need to taint this chat. although, I mean, I think we've got some updates coming there, because oof. But yeah, he's the only person I know outside of this group and this podcast who loves wrestling, and we can't talk about it like so many other things coming up in 2024 with families. So it is so amazing to me to have you guys. If it wasn't for the pod, I wouldn't have you, which is so weird. We talk more than I talk to most people I know.
The only place to hear all the bonus madness, both that exists and to come, is by becoming a MaxFun member at MaximumFun.org/join. And I want to point out again, when you're entering your information to either become a member, upgrade your membership, or boost your membership, especially for upgrading and boosting, you can check the boxes for all of the MaxFun shows you listen to. So if you're boosting or upgrading, that's a great time to update that list. There may be new shows you've added that you want to give support to. That's the time to do it. But checking the box for tights and fights is essential to supporting our show and keeping us in your ears every single week. Again, MaximumFun.org/join. Do it now while you're thinking of it. We'll wait here.
Yeah. Got a podcast. Tights and Fights is the name.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland, joined once again by
Danielle Radford
and
Lindsay Kelk
and
Mike Eagle.
Now it is time to close out the show by sharing things from wrestling that brought us joy. This is our main event. No, it's not. This is... Oh, we're so close. I love the intro, though. This is the three count.
Watch my three count. One, two, three. Get out of there.
That was sick.
Danielle, what would you like to put over?
Okay, so I am going to start mine with, everybody knows I love Asuka's YouTube channel a whole bunch. Go on there if you want to watch how different rice tastes in different rice cookers, which is one of my favorite of her videos. It's very calming. If you want to watch spiralized cabbage, or in this case, it is Asuka. She is in Japan, and she goes and surprises the owner of a wrestling-themed bar who is her biggest fan. It is amazing. The bar owner takes, I want to say, at least like 30 seconds to a minute to figure out it's actually Asuka before she begins weeping. And y'all know how I feel about tears in wrestling. It goes together like chocolate and peanut butter. I love feelings. So go and watch that. That is on Asuka's YouTube channel.
Fantastic. Lindsay?
I am going to put over a combination of two of my favorite things also, Danielle, which is professional wrestling and koalas. Not a bear. I was going to say koala bears, but they're not a bear, despite having all the qualifications, which is one of my favorite Australian puns. It's the finest pun. It can't be beat. Yeah, wrestlers and koala bears. There is a history of this. See, every time they make wrestlers go to Australia, they make them go and hold a koala, which you can only do in certain states or provinces or whatever it is in Australia. Do you know that? Can't do it in Melbourne. Melbourne, you're not allowed to hold them. You're allowed to like touch them, but you can't hold them.
Aren't they kind of dangerous? Aren't they kind of like more rascally than they look?
So they have very sharp claws, like extremely sharp claws. So if they went for you with those, it would go badly. They also make monster noises, which no one tells you about. Like the sound they make is terrifying. Google it. Go check it. and they all have chlamydia. That might be a sweeping statement, but a lot of them have chlamydia. When you go to San Diego Zoo, there is like a whole thing about the research that they're doing into curing koalas of chlamydia, and they have a photo story on the wall of a little koala like on an operating table with an anesthesia mask on him. It's very cute. It doesn't sound like it would be, but it's adorable. It's like if a koala bear reenacted an episode of Grey's Anatomy, and it's like, oh, but don't worry about that. Worry about going to Instagram and seeing all of the videos of wrestlers holding koala bears. LA Knight holding a koala bear. I recommend it. Bianca and Montez seemed a little uncertain about it. Like Montez not totally on board with it until the koala gives him a kiss. But everyone else, adorable. It's Kevin Owens' best day of his life. Best day of his life. We know how he feels about a zoo. So I thank the people of Australia and koalas of this world for giving me that gift. They also smell like eucalyptus. Sorry.
Ooh. She's so soft.
Yeah, she's super chill.
Yeah. You can continue enjoying your little eucalyptus.
Oh, babies. So soft.
I mean, I've always wanted one, so like... This is not helping at all. This is not helping.
The way Candace bounces it around like it is her actual child is the most adorable thing ever. She's talking to it like it is her baby. She's like, oh, do you want to look over here now? And I'm like, he's a koala. He doesn't know.
It's time to renew our magic bands.
Yeah, right? He is tolerating this. This is not his favorite part of his day. It's the favorite part of your day. It's not the favorite part of his day.
Yeah, he's a New Japan fan. He doesn't really know your work that way.
Right? He likes strong style. So get out of his face. But it's adorable for us. Hopefully a large donation was made to a koala sanctuary and everyone's a winner.
Mike?
I just wanted to say that really quickly, I did go look up and get a listen to how koalas sound, and I played it, and it sounded exactly like the Black Scorpion.
I have chlamydia.
The truth is out at last.
I'm gonna put over a YouTube channel called Toonytown Wrestling that will not be everyone's cup of tea. I'm gonna read you the description of Toonytown Wrestling's YouTube channel. Dive into the cartoonish world of professional wrestling with Toonytown Wrestling. Join host Marvin the Movie Monster and Toony Khan, our puppet version of AEW owner Toony Khan, as they deliver the latest pro wrestling news with a humorous twist. From WWE to AEW, we've got all your wrestling news covered in a way you've never seen before. I sent a song in that I certainly would not want the entire thing played because it's probably too long, but have a little listen.
Cody, I know things have been rough lately, but I want you to remember.
You say the price of my hugs isn't something you're willing to pay. My fans cried when you didn't resign after they told you to go away. Why'd you go? Remember, we made an arrangement to become best friends. Now you're not on my show. Remember, despite our estrangement, I'm your friend. You'll be back soon, you'll see. You'll hate it in WWE. You'll be back on Rampage and be happy in my gilded cage. Dave stars rise, ratings fall, but you'll be with me through it all. And when all comes to end, I will pay all of my daddy's money if you'll come and be my friend. Da 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 da.
Oh, I love the internet.
That's impressive. Oh,
wow. Not bad, Jonathan Groff.
I was going to say, this took effort.
Can we make sure Lin-Manuel Miranda hears that? Please. Please.
I can DM him.
I think he needs to see it.
He's heard of this show. I mean.
Yeah. I just, I it started a little rocky and then it really got there.
Really
good. Really got through. There. Good job. Well done.
That's what happens when you commit, kids.
I like it. Well, as you know, Elimination Chamber is taking place in Australia, and one member of the roster seems to have maybe gotten a little bit lost and confused. Here's a video of him.
I'm here in Austria. Where's everybody at? I don't see nobody. I bet you the hotels, the arenas empty. Should I just go back home? Hey, good mate. Back to the area port.
Area port is crazy.
What weird.
This is a golden era of professional wrestling. That's all the proof you need.
Oh God, I just love R-Truth. So, like I said, just like the very few people I feel like, I don't know when he's going to end his career. He is like 52. He is definitely getting his flowers in this run because everybody is like constantly talking about how dope
for as long
is.
As he can I do that jump split without popping a hip, that man should be drawing a paycheck. Like that's what I know. That's
if what not, I have him write your sketches. Like keep him in the back, have him write your comedy.
You know, like that just reminds me of when there was a time when we thought COVID was going to be a cuddly inconvenience instead of the dictating force of the rest of our lives. A lot of people said it would have been really funny if after they made the announcement of it moving into the performance center, if R-Truth was just wandering around RJ Stadium and saying, when does WrestleMania start?
Would have been great. Mm-hmm. Well, that does it for this episode of Tights and Fights. This week, your hosts were Danielle Radford, Lindsay Kelk, and Mike Eagle, along with me, Hal Lublin. Mike, thanks so much for joining us again. What are you working on that everyone should know about?
I'm just streaming a lot on Twitch, twitch.tv/openmikeeagle, and always making musics. And mostly I'm just at home right now chilling, making music and streaming. So you can check me out at my house.
Beautiful. Love it. And Lindsay and Danielle and I are all going to plug the same thing. To become a Max Fun member at MaximumFun.org/join and make sure to select Tights and Fights when they ask what shows you listen to so that we can benefit from your recurring monthly contribution, from your membership.
From your love.
We We do. It's important that we really do benefit from your love. I have so much respect. This is going to sound like I'm gassing myself up, but I have so much respect for what you guys bring, what Danielle and Hal and Julian bring to this table every week. As the wrestling world is not always a pretty place. And I'm just going to blow this out a little more and say the world is not always a pretty place to live in. But you know what is my one guarantee every single week that I am able to sit in this chair and talk to you? It's that I am going to come out feeling better than I felt going in. I'm going to come out laughing. I'm going to come out thinking differently about something, whether it's a big thing or a little thing. And I just think that's really, really special. It's in an industry and a fandom and a world that doesn't always look like me or my friends or people I know, and I don't always feel welcome in it. Our podcast and our community really is a safe space for me to feel good for an hour. I think that's incredible. I think that's amazing. Thank you, friends.
And what's super nice, and I'm like actually really excited about, because I love when we do dumb shit, is that this month is going to start like bonus content, like real for real, like once a month we're going to be doing bonus content. We always, every show, we're like, Julian, don't cut that. Julian, don't cut that. And then he does, because he's right. But so you'll get to hear, sometimes it'll be outtakes from shows. Sometimes we get like really deep in a rabbit hole of something and it's like, like I love this, but we just can't keep it. And so it'll get moved over to something else. Sometimes we'll have special interviews. We'll have special guests, maybe more commentary tracks where everybody gets to watch a bad movie and Danielle's really excited about it. It could be, Money Plane was the best thing that ever happened to me. This would be a great opportunity for everybody. If you've been thinking about like different ways that you can help support the pod, obviously joining and being a member is 100% an amazing way to do so. And then you'll get all of that sweet, sweet bonus content. Like, let's say more commentary tracks of bad movies because it makes Danielle really happy.
The only way to make all that happen for yourself and get to hear it is by going to MaximumFun.org/join. Don't forget to check that box for tights and fights. Our producer isn't here to make friends. He's here to make punny, Julian Burrell. Senior producer at Max Fun is Laura Swisher. We'll be back next week. We'll be back next week and all of Max Fun Drive to talk about more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Here comes the pain. Bow to the masters. This is a podcast. They are podcasters. Max Fun's the network. Tyson Fights is the name.
Maximum Fun.
A worker-owned network
of artists-owned shows.
Supported
directly
by you.